gates with thanksgiving in our heart. And I don't like to necessarily can the idea, because it's Thanksgiving, that we should do that, but the idea of the passage that just kept stirring me this morning, Psalm 100 verse 4, is that we're not always as thankful as we should be. We tend to be a bit more complaining than we ought. And yet there's so many things that are happening around us that are good. And I want to look at the aspect of this passage just for a moment. David has written this particular psalm, and it's talking about the spiritual life available to a person who enters into God's presence with a dynamic sense of praise. But it's not thanksgiving simply as a state of being. That we are to enter His courts with thanksgiving in our heart doesn't just mean that we're supposed to be grateful and that should be an automatic feeling, but there's something about the passage that seems to imply that the thanksgiving is intentional, that it involves some dimension of mental ascent, that thanksgiving isn't just about thankfulness, hence the difference between the word thankful and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving means that we've moved it from a subtle place of just a state of being to the actual act of giving thanks, to where we make it we articulate our thanks, where we are making it real, bringing it into the real world. You understand the difference? I could be grateful, I could be thankful, but there's also a point in each person's life where you need to make thanksgiving. You have to begin to move to that place of worship. And the passage that really speaks in contrast, because at this time in the life of the psalm writer, there's not necessarily a lot to be thankful for, but he understands, as having a heart of worship, the scriptures seem to imply that at some point in time, that one of the works of the coming kingdom would be to restore the tabernacle of David, or the place of praise for David. And David is seen as a worshipful king, a king who understands the connection between service and praise. And I think that one thing is just standing out to me today, just to keep the message as short as I can. Again, I'm going to be doing a message talking about the three ghosts of Christmas. And I really felt like I needed to start that today. There was a lot that I felt like the Lord gave me for that, as far as dealing with our past, dealing with our present, and moving to our future. But as things happened this morning, and there was just this we were not on the same page. And it's not anybody else's fault. It's totally my doing. But I felt like the Lord was speaking to me specifically about what it means to get into unity, that there's a place of not pride, like we're intentionally arrogant or mean-spirited or boastful, but I think that there's an idea here of how it is that we should approach God with humility and thanksgiving. So every person that's here should be able to come to the place where they're not so sold on themselves and not so, and myself included, that we're not so into our gifts that we become the gift, and I mean that in the sense of pride, but that there's an intention or an implication in this passage of Scripture that you can't intrude into the Lord's presence arrogantly. You could come confidently, but there's a big difference between confidence and arrogance, that there needs to be a dimension of servitude accompanied it. So in the book of Psalms, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God, and it is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. For we are the people and the sheep of His pasture. And so there's this acknowledgement of humility, where the people are recognizing that we're not our own, that whatever it is that we have been granted, whether that good, bad, be that good, bad, or indifferent, that it's God who has kind of put us in that place. And therefore, it should move us towards thanksgiving, entering into his gates with verbal proclamation of praise to God for what he has accomplished, which doesn't just mean blind kind of rote parroting of words, which I hear people do all the time. So there are a number of us that when we think about thanksgiving, we're just saying things. We're just, like when you're in the middle of a praise service, it's common to hear people say, "Yes, thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus." But there's no real mental assent to the idea. You don't really have it in your mind what it is that you're thankful for, and you haven't thought about it. And if I had gone further with the message last week, one of them passages would have been walking circumspectly before the Lord, which is a bit of involves a bit of self-examination. And so it's kind of my contention that there is a need for us to be deliberate about what it is that we're thankful for. It's the kind of hard assessment that each of us needs to do about the state of our own life, considering where things could be without the Lord's presence. But it really means we have to stop kind of the whining of sorts that goes along with some of the problems that we might face, because we're upset about the Lord's timing on things. So entering his gates with thanksgiving, in my mind, requires us today to do that kind of spiritual inventory, to take assessment about what it is that you have and where it is that you are. And rather than being complaining about it, putting that into contrast about what it is that God is actually doing, and then kind of mentally coming to terms with those issues that are going on in your life, and then making them verbal proclamations about the things that are praiseworthy that are going on in the things that we're facing. And it ends with just a very simple verse that the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And that was going to be one of the passages that I used in my message this morning, that there would be this idea that the mercies of God are new every morning. Now, what does that mean? That means that being Christians, we have a chance to have a second chance, that we have the opportunity to not be in the bad side of God or his wrath or his contention, but that we can kind of come into a place where we recognize that God's graces are being made available to us over and over again. And so recognizing that his truth, and again, when I talk about truth, I don't mean just the telling of truth. I mean kind of the reconstructing and reorienting our mind about the realities that we're going through. That's truth. It's God's truth. And God's truth is that there are He is working and He is helping. So I just felt like taking a little sideline there, and that may have been just for me. But I really would like to just encourage those of you who have been going through a hard time this year. I know that I don't know where George went, but I know he was expressing what a difficult year he was having a few weeks back. That he feels a degree of the spirit of failure coming on him because of some things he's experienced in a job, which really wasn't his fault. But now he's trying to decide what to do, and he's wrestling with that. And this has not, in his mind, it's been a good year, but it's been a troubling year. Sylvia shared with me some of the things that she's been going through with the selling of her house and the conditions at her workplace, all the things that are going on. Joe, you faced some disappointment this year. Steve, you faced disappointment a couple times this year. So there's people that have gone through art. Steve and Debbie, you guys have gone through that difficult place. So the idea of Thanksgiving may just involve you guys doing that spiritual inventory. Again, seeing yourself in the place that God has you as being the right place and right now, and kind of moving towards praise. Because the idea of coming into his courts with thanksgiving in our heart doesn't send the impression that we have stuff to work out with God. It kind of implies that we've worked it out and we understand. We get what God is doing. And so the coming into thanksgiving, there's a dimension of freedom in that we're entering his gates with thanksgiving in our heart, with our hearts, and entering his courts with praise means that we put the two things together, and there's been some resolution for the things that we're doing. Now, you may be trying to figure out how can you do that in a real short period of time. That, I think, is impossible. I think that there's really a season of circumspective kinds of assessment of where we really are, but not with the attitude of, I'm going to figure out what's wrong, more so looking for what God has done that is good, the ways that God has saved, the way that God has renewed, the joyful things that should come. And I wanted to shut the door on Thanksgiving, I think. I think I wanted to shut the door on Thanksgiving and just move into the Christmas season, and maybe that's where my head was at this morning, by point of disclosure, that maybe the Lord's like saying, nope, you're not done with November yet. Because it's been a tough year for me as well. And yet to realize that God is in this and that He is with us and there are good things happening. Can you come to the same terms to yourself about the things that are going on? And maybe we could just pray this morning. And I could just, we've done a little bit of that. But may this year be something that you can look back with thankfulness for the ways that God has saved you. And may you be able to come to terms with some of the situations that you are facing. And to put the two things together, what happened this morning, or what I felt the Lord was doing this morning, and the message that I was just giving, I hope that you're going to be able to give some of those burdens to the Lord. And I trust that there are some of you here this morning who know specifically of what I speak. You know the thing that you need to give to God. And so I'm asking you to do that, just to take a minute and give that thing to the Lord to work out. You can't do it. You're the Lord's creation, and the psalm just reminded us of that. That we're His workmanship, and we're the people of His pasture. And so whatever that might represent to you this morning, just give it over to the Lord. Give it to Him because you realize He is good. And He is trustworthy. I give to you, God, my disappointment and my disillusionment. And I pray, Lord, that you would take this burden and just make the yoke easier, God. Thank you for your Spirit that makes us alive and new. And then for others, I pray that there would be the ability to give God praise for where you are. Friend, you're not so alone as you might imagine. The Lord is with you. I'm confident of that very thing, that God is working on your behalf, and He knows where you are. He knows where you're going. I want to take authority over the fear that's in your life right now. I want to take authority over the confusion that's sinking in. I want to take authority over the thing in you that has already taken root. And you've already given it place. You've already given it voice. You've already given verbal and mental assent to your disappointment and your disillusion. And I take authority over those things in the name of Jesus. Because those are not the truth. They do not represent the truth. They're not metaphors for the truth. The truth is the presence of God and how He is working in our midst. That's the truth. The truth is that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that He has not forgotten you, your desires. And He's not going to quit on them, and you shouldn't quit on them either. So open your heart to that new thing that God wants to implant in you. Christmas is a time of new beginnings. It's seasonal, and there's a lot going on, and it's easy to get caught up in the hype But that doesn't take away from the fact that God does new things. And He gives gifts. Not just the gift of Jesus, but there are gifts that are coming in a continual way to you. May the life of God just be known to you right there. Soften our hearts. Open our hearts, God, to you. And to the third person that just can't muster it, that you're worn out from seeking good and all you feel is frustration, I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you'd be able to let it go in Jesus' name. It will do you no good to keep hammering away at your frustration. It will lead you to a place of embitterment and will lead you to a contemptuous personality that's not of God, and God doesn't want us to be like that. I just take authority over that in the name of Jesus, that the words of your mouth and the things that you think about, the meditations of your heart, would be pleasing unto the Lord. And we move to that place of gratefulness, God, of giving cognitive, coherent praise, not entering in with an arrogant intrusion into your presence, Lord, but we come into your courts with humility and genuine gratitude for the good that you have done and the ways that you have saved us this year. Worshiping you, God, for the houses that people still own, for the cars people are still driving, for the marriages that are still together, for the recovery that you've done in the life of people who were cast off, Lord, for the Spirit's work among us today, God. We thank you for just that. And we push past, Lord, our disappointment in the name of Jesus, giving it to you. We're not going to be confused. We're going to move to a place of hope and faith and trust. We thank you, God, for your work that's being done in us. And thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, thank you for my short message. Today we have just a prayer request for Catherine and Ben Hewitt's grandfather, who's also named Ben. He had major surgery and is in recovery, and we're gonna pray for full recovery. And then next week I'm going to start that message. I call it the Three Ghosts of Christmas, and it's the ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future, and we're used to just some stories that I feel like the Lord's gonna. What I felt like the Lord's gonna do is He's gonna help us really deal with the past. He's going to help us to take responsibility for the present, and He's going to help us sow seeds of hope for the future. And so those are the three things that I hope to accomplish next week in doing that.
Well, I just pray for the rest of us that as we are in the process of just developing that gratitude, the hard work of gratitude, that the Lord would bless you during the season, and to see you next week.